been a lot of tough times. Like, shit, should I have left the military? Should I be going back to school? Like, all these things that I thought about. I did Lyft for like 3 weeks. Mm. I was working at FedEx. I was working at UPS. I was doing all this shit that someone with an advanced degree should not be doing in America. But I was doing it because it was necessary to get what I needed to get done. But I didn't turn my nose up at it because...
Yeah.
That's good. Part of the process, and trusting that process was something that I had to do to get to this point where I am now.
You're listening to the Christoph Lewis Podcast, a podcast where I have conversations with inspirational people. My name is Chris, but my family calls me Christoph. My goal is to have as many conversations as possible with people who have forged their own path by pursuing their dreams, making them a reality, all the while emitting positivity and sharing this knowledge with others. I seek these people out and share this information with you, proving to the world that you can do what makes you happy and do what you want for a living while being a good human being. We'll talk about careers, but we'll also cover any story that inspires. Let's do this while helping each other. Thanks for listening. I'm happy you're here. Hey, what's up, my friends? Welcome to the Christoph Lewis Podcast. This is conversation number 96 already, 96, and I'm so excited that you're here with me today for yet another amazing conversation. My guest today was none other than Corinne Million. I had such a fun conversation, like I almost forgot to start recording in the beginning because we were just talking. She's back in my home state, Colorado, drinking nice local beer, and I was like, wow, this is great. So we just had a friendly conversation like we always do on here, and I loved it. We talked about her transition as a United States Air Force vet out of the military. She actually went to the academy after she was enlisted while she was in the military. World travel, talked about how she worked at ESPN. She left her job at ESPN to start something else where she wasn't really working, in her words, for 2 years. And with all of her background, all of her education, and the concern for how she looked from the outside, it was really difficult. But listening to her tell the story is nothing short of incredible and inspirational. And literally, she hit every single pillar that I love to talk about on the podcast. Absolutely inspirational through and through, easy to talk to person. And I cannot wait to share this conversation with you. You can find this conversation and all the other contemplations at christophlewis.com/podcast. You can find me on Instagram at Christoph Lewis. So without further ado, let's get into this conversation. Welcome to the Christoph Lewis Podcast.
Yes, thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be a part of what you have going on. I wish my background looks like your background to let people know I am not the one to mess with. So serious. Like, in case you thought this was a game, this is not a game when I look at in your background right now.
Yeah, it's been a work in progress, and it helps that I have a 6-month-old daughter now, so I have like recent additions of shotguns and other things going on in here, and it's just like this wall has been my own work of art over the last couple of years.
What she doesn't know is when the boys come, you'll be on the rocking chair with the newest edition.
Pretty like, classic.
Hello. You're
Oh, that's weird. Oh man, I almost didn't want to start the podcast because we were just joking so much. You're back in my home state of Colorado. You're drinking one of the local beers there, and I'm just like, I would love to just go hang out there and do that exact with you. But man, I am so excited to talk to you. You are an Air Force vet. You are the president and co-founder of the Winning Edge Leadership Academy, and that does. I've listened to some things about that. Read some about it, and it does amazing things. So I'd love to get into that, but I want to learn a little bit about you more in the beginning before we get into the trenches of the things. Like, how long were you in the Air Force and what did you do? And then I also want to go, you can go straight into like how and why did you begin with the Leading Edge Leadership Academy? How did that start?
Yeah, for sure. So I always like to start off, I feel like, I'd like to take my claim, and I'm a product of two Haitian immigrants.
Okay.
Both my parents came into this country, and I wouldn't be who I am today if it were not for them making that trip here. And there was no better way to repay the country that opened the doors to my parents than to serve this country. And
good for you.
It's something that I always, like, I used to not be that person, but I started to have, like, a little Haitian pin on my left just to let people know, like, you can, whatever you think of immigrants and first generation Americans, like, we're all here to do the same thing and succeed and strive for greatness and mm-hmm. be a part of a great country. But I am not someone that typically would get into sports. My parents didn't do sports. My mom said nowhere in the Bible did it say Jesus played. So I went through school, like, everyone always asked what sport I played, and I was like, I was a golfer. My mom said she heard business deals were done on the golf course, so I've been playing golf, and like I said, this, as a product of Haitian immigrants, mm-hmm. the opportunities weren't plentiful, so I, out of high school, I joined the military, went to Lackland Air Force Base in San Antonio, Texas, during the hottest month of the year, September 2004. Nice. Who does that? I don't know, but did that and was a command and control airman, was stationed in Spengdahlem Air Base in Germany.
Okay.
Best, I don't think any 18-year-old would have expected to sign up and get to spend their first 3 years in Europe, but it was an amazing wow. experience. It provided a lot of the foundation to who I am now.
Yeah.
And here's when my base commander recommended me for the Air Force Academy.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, I actually, his daughter was on the basketball team that I coached, Bitburg High School, and she thought she was going to be a captain. You know, my daddy's the base commander. I should be captain.
Yeah.
And I said no, and it was the first time that she heard no in a long time, and her dad thought that you must have some kahunas about you, so let's see what we can do. He was a USAFA grad himself, so he recommended me, and so I went to the academy for 2 years, and my dad passed away and thought, you know, my mom is the only one here in the country. I don't want to leave her and be somewhere off, and yeah. surprisingly, it was like 2 days before I was supposed to go to Qatar that I got accepted to the academy. So
wow.
thank you, George Bush.
Yeah.
My man. but and I left and ended up at a small school in Minnesota doing sport management. And then thankfully, by the grace of who knows what, ended up being a graduate assistant for Pat Summitt.
Wow. That's incredible. I think yeah. that's so cool. So many things are so cool there. My mother's an immigrant too. She's from Hungary. That's where yeah. Krzysztof comes from. My dad was from the States though, but yeah, she emigrated from Hungary to New York City to find a job. And her, I always say, like, I need to get her on here, 'cause like, she's got a crazy story too. Like my parents, like our parents, I should say, like,
yeah.
I can't imagine like leaving the United States and like going to another country to find a job. Like that is nuts.
Right. I know. It's crazy. And then they do it without knowing anybody, the language. I mean, when I was younger, my mom thought, she used to cry. She took me to the doctor because she thought I was mute.
Oh, wow.
And the problem was no one spoke English at home. But when I went to school, they only spoke English. So I didn't know. So the doctor was like, your child isn't mute. She just doesn't know what the hell to say.
Oh, wow. That's really interesting.
Consistent. Yeah. So... my mom learned English by watching soap operas, so she's very dramatic. It's like,
that's everything. Hilarious.
Yeah, she's like, take out the trash, please. I'm like, mom, it's not that serious.
That's probably the funniest thing I've heard in a long time. That's like from a movie, it sounds like. That's really funny.
So serious. I'm like, if she watches the same soap operas till this day, like Sunny Corinthos on General Hospital, like yeah. I know these soap opera stars because of my mom.
Yeah. Wow, that's crazy. And then you were in Germany for 3 years. I always, like, I had a buddy actually just got back from Germany for 3 years in the Navy, and I'm a huge advocate of travel. I think it's so good for the mind to work with other people, to live with other people, and just see other cultures. And I always say, like, I don't even care, yeah. like, other first world countries, second world countries, even first world countries are so different. It's insane. So getting that perspective probably, like, I think you even said, like, it really helped form the person you are today.
Yeah. Between when I was younger, my mom didn't trust American babysitters. So in the summer, she would just put me on a plane to Haiti, and I would spend 2 months in Haiti every summer.
Oh, cool.
So between that, and that was like for like 10, 12 years of my life. So then
oh, wow.
for that, and then going to Europe And the one thing I remember is like being in Amsterdam every New Year's.
Wow.
So I'll leave it at that. But I think it really allowed me to be empathetic to a lot of different cultures.
Sure, sure.
If it's something that I don't understand, like I'm like, let's sit down, let's have a beer. Everybody, like, there are things that are universal. Good food, good conversation,
right.
And good drink.
That's so right. I love that.
Find those common things at the end of the day. And I want you to learn about what it means to be a first generation American. And I want to know what it means to be like, I've personally never met someone who had a Hungarian background. Like, my neighbor was from Russia, and I was like, oh, I never met a Russian person before. We ended up talking like every day because I had so many questions. So I think those travels afforded me the opportunity just to be open-minded.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Open-mindedness is absolutely massive. And yeah, you're probably not going to meet a lot of Hungarians. I think there's literally only 20 million Hungarians in the entire world. So there's not many of us. We're a dying breed, it seems like. It's insane.
Most people say Hungarians.
Do they? I don't even know.
I'm always surprised by the lack of knowledge people have when it comes to like, oh, my parents are from Haiti. Oh, they speak Haitian? Nope, that's not a language.
Gosh, yeah. Well, I want to know, like, tell me about more about you wanting to start and work with the Winning Edge Leadership Academy, because everything that I've heard with that is really, really incredible. But it's so cool for me. Like, I obviously have a Navy background, a military background, and I talk to more vets than I don't. And to me, it's always incredible to see vets that honestly don't feel sorry for themselves, go out there and continue their education, continue helping other people. And if you've heard more than one podcast on here, you know I'm massive on not only continuing your education for yourself, but going out there and helping other people. And that is like the epitome of what you're doing with this. So that's why I reached out to you and I was like, wow, that's really cool. So I'd love to learn more about why did you start that? Why are you so impassioned about helping other people?
Yeah, I think it goes back to I'm the only... I'm first generation American. I don't have cousins in the States. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm an only child. So growing up and anything that I wanted to do, I was the first, or I was doing it on my own. I was like, there was nobody that I could lean on to say, hey, could you open the door for me to do this? And I don't know if it's because I'm so charming or what, but I feel like people kind of look at me and say, you know what, this is somebody that I want to help. And whether it was getting to the academy, going to the prep school, being at Tennessee, I was always put in a position where somebody reached out to help me. Mm-hmm. And back to ESPN,
that's so cool.
I loved what I was doing at ESPN. It's funny because, again, I didn't grow up sports
or watching
ESPN. And I just realized that in this department that I was in, I was one of few that looked like me and had the background that I had, whether it was having a master's degree or actually playing college sports. So I was like, okay, well, that's kind of sucks. And then my co-founder, Maria Taylor, you know, she's on College Game Day, and there are times where she's the only person that looks like her on the whole crew, you know? So it's like, if the players look like us, the decision makers and the people who are telling their stories should reflect that as well.
Sure.
We kind of took it upon ourselves to, between her platform and my charm, to do something about that.
Yeah.
And we started off our first 2 years, we were in Charlotte, and we were like, we're going to match these students up with industry professionals and really provide that connection for these women and minorities. A lot of times they're first generation college students, so they don't know what the hell an internship is supposed to look like. And I was teaching sport management classes at the time at HBCU, and a lot of my upperclassmen, they hadn't had an internship or they had no experience. And I'm like, when I was at Tennessee, they were freshmen. Or there are students who are working in the athletic department since they were freshmen. So now you're graduating and you're already 4 years behind these peers. We have this experience. So I wanted to create something to kind of bridge the gap of that experience and those connections and that mentorship.
Yeah, and I actually, when I was listening to a live you all had done, that's actually one of the things I literally wrote down here. Provide people with tools post-college, like continued education. And I thought that was so cool because college didn't pan out so good for me. I actually dropped out of college and I dropped right into the Navy. And one thing I learned a couple years into the Navy is just like actually how much I love learning. And I always thought that I didn't learn anything that benefited who I wanted to be in college. So for you all to notice that potential gap in 4 years, and obviously education, whether it be formal or self-education, is imperative for, you know, depending on what you want to do, but yeah. Approaching it from the perspective that you guys are approaching it from and giving that education, that continued education, I think is phenomenal that you all do that. And one of the things that I love that you said is that somebody always helped me, because like you were first gen, like you didn't know anybody, you didn't have any friends, family, nothing. I didn't either. So like that totally relates to me. And like, how good does it feel when like somebody helps you? Like think about, okay, traveling, you're in Germany, you don't know where you're going, it's your first month there, and somebody speaks English and you're like, holy cow, this feels great. And and like I know where to get the wiener schnitzels now, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I'm gonna be okay, the sauerkraut's on. But like I'm just saying, like if you're in this country and you don't know your way around and somebody helps you, like that feels amazing. So what's cool, again, what I'm picking up here is that it didn't just stop there and you weren't just like, thanks for the help, see ya. It was like, hey, thanks for the help, I want to help more people and I want to pay it forward. And that, I love that. That's one of the many things I want people to take away from this conversation already.
Yeah. And it's something that I like preach on, and it's something that people know me for. Like, if relationship building, if you are trying to understand relationship building, like Kareen is that person. I'm the person that I still write handwritten notes to any coach I ever met.
Very cool.
I was an assistant or an ESPN just at the start of the season, like, hey coach, good luck this season. Can't wait to see what you guys are doing.
Yeah.
At the end of the season, hey, congrats coach on your NCAA selection. Like those little things, because again, those relationships helped propel me to where I am today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love the handwritten stuff. Like when I sell these, you can't really see it on here, but when you sell these podcast t-shirts, I always write handwritten note and I do all that stuff. And it's just, for me, I know how it feels. Like we just said about like, when somebody helps you, it feels so good. You want to pay it forward. So I know, like, when I get a handwritten note about a t-shirt I got from somebody, like, that's the ultimate touch. So it's really cool to see you continue to do that. A lot of this is amazing to talk to, but let's shift directions, like, really quick and go, like, all right, well, like, this is awesome. A lot of good reasons behind it. A lot of good attitudes. But what kind of obstacle? I feel like there's got to be some obstacles that you face trying to create something like this, because I don't know. Yeah. Maybe some people, you know, were against it. I don't know. Like, what kind of obstacles did you face?
Yeah, I think there's two major obstacles for me. I think, you know, diversity, inclusion is a hot button issue. Everybody and their mom wants to be able to check these boxes and say, look at us, look how diverse we are, look how inclusive we are.
Yeah.
But when it really gets down to it, the actions that need to be taken, people are missing that. And I think too often it's something that, you know, people give me a hard time about. It's like they feel like I'm shoving diversity down the throats of people. And it's like, that's freaking okay. Like, that's how change happened. That's how, you know, the Civil Rights Act was passed. Mm-hmm. People have to feel a certain way and feel empathetic, because there's no other way that they're going to understand. And so a lot of times it's just getting people to understand, like, what you were doing, if the results weren't diverse or you weren't having diverse candidates in your talent pool, then maybe there's something else you need to do. Maybe you need to switch it up. So kind of going in and getting people to change their mind on how to do things. And the second part is, like, I left ESPN to do this full time, and I didn't have an income. I moved back home, lived with my mom, brought my dog. And this is somebody, again, from the time I was 17, joined the military. I've been on my own.
Doing my own thing.
And now I'm 33. Wow. I'm at home. And my mom goes to work every day. And I'm like, oh, I'm at home. I'm doing these things. And it's tough. Like, I really, you know, to be honest, you know, September, I think, is Suicide Prevention Month. And I had some really dark days, because it's a struggle.
Yeah.
As you know, especially, you know, as someone, I went from the military to school, and everything that I had was provided. My housing, yeah. My clothes.
Oh, God. I know. Yeah. Yeah. I know. Yeah.
Even if my bank account had zero, I could go to the chow hall and get food. There were going to be the basic necessities I was going to have. And to go from that to, like, if you ain't got it, you ain't got it. Especially as a strong Black woman, that's like, supposed to have all these burdens and shoulder all them. It was very tough. And seeing my mom, I've never known her to work one job at a time. And so for me to have the perception of having no job, you know, I'm still working. I'm like traveling and things, but not have an income was tough. Yeah. And
interesting.
You're with me now. It's my first, tomorrow technically will be my first day at my first job.
I know. Congrats. That's huge. Yeah. We were emailing about that. I was so pumped for you. I was like, this is so cool. Like, you're like, I don't know if I can make the conversation. Can we push it? And I was like, yeah, do your thing. Like, go crush it.
Yeah. And it's funny. Like, when I agreed to do this podcast, I was like, yeah, we can talk about winning games, but there ain't going to be no happily ever after at the end, you know? And to, like, I couldn't have written a better story.
That's so cool.
Yeah, to like pursue your passion, and a lot of people, they want to live that Instagram life and ride around jets and do all these things that looks good on social media. But it's like the grind is real. The 2 years of like nothing, literally nothing, having just the like working off the support of your friends and your family and people who believed in you to do something you loved, and I didn't. I mean, I'm sure I could have got a job if I wanted. Yeah. Obviously, I'm qualified. Look at me. But I wanted a specific type of opportunity, and now I have that. But that was because I put forth the effort. I grinded. Mm-hmm. And I was close to the gym.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you sacrificed all that because you knew what you wanted. And honestly, like, yeah, I totally think, and obviously you could have gotten a job, but then that would have just been a distraction. That would have been less time working on what you wanted to do. And maybe those 2 years would have turned into 4 years, would have turned into 8 years. Like, who knows? But I think it was really cool. Like, I obviously talk about careers a lot, and specifically career transition, because for me, like, it was really difficult to leave that whole safety net that you described of the military and leave the Navy. And I saw a lot of other people struggle with that as well. So you're like perfectly hitting on one of the massive pillars that I've built the foundation of the podcast on, and leaving ESPN, not having an income, 2 years of nothing, like, just to pursue your passion. And you don't know, like, when you quote unquote make it, you're like, okay, it was all worth it. But like, when you said you're like relentlessly grinding, you don't know if you're going to make it. Like, it just sucks at times. And like, you have to swallow your pride, move back home. And then your mom's out there like working. And you said it has the appearance of you not working. And you're like, oh, well, what the shit am I actually doing? Is it all worth it? What do I, like, all these emotions go through your head. Should I leave the military? Should I, you know, all this stuff. And you brought up a lot of like old things I haven't really thought about, like knowing that you could have no money and just still go get food. You still have shelter, like all these things. So I know it's that for me, at least with my background, I know it's increasingly harder for vets to transition because of that, because they're so used to like, yeah, you've been on your own, but at the same time, you still got Uncle Sam like right behind you in case you fall to catch you. You know what I'm saying? But I really, like, all that's incredible, but I really, really want to focus on your mindset between, like, not everybody would do that. Like, I think a lot of people would land at ESPN and be like, that's it, I made it, like, I'm hanging out. But for you to leave that behind and want to start all this up, I mean, like, what do you think separates you from people that don't make that leap?
I think I have been very consistent.
Consistency
has been a big part of who I am. And that is something that, had you asked me that question maybe 2 years ago, I don't know if I would have given you that answer. But as I've been able to go through my career, that's something that people, when I talk to them and I first met them 10 years ago, I have grown, but I'm still, the work ethic is the same. Mm-hmm. The things that I'm passionate about are the same. Mm-hmm. You know, my willingness to be a servant leader is the same. So the things I was able to talk about have always just been consistent, and you can count on me. My word meant a lot. There were things that at the end of the day, I was consistent. And so knowing that people believed in me, mm-hmm. you know, co-founder, she is someone that really poured a lot into me, more than I think people will understand or realize, and even probably more than she understands.
Wow.
And we fight and we bicker and we like cuss each other out and we don't talk to each other sometimes, but we challenge each other.
Good.
And
yeah.
I think I would have left ESPN knowing that I wouldn't be able to grow and become someone exceptional. And I've always been in a position where I was shown exceptional women. And that's not something that everybody gets. Between the military, my commanders at the Air Force Academy, shout out to Lieutenant Colonel Whitman, Pat Summitt, and all those coaches at Tennessee, ESPN, I have had the opportunity to be a witness to some great leaders who are women. And that kind of fueled me to say, I can do any of this shit.
Hell yeah.
There's nothing I can do. And I talk to so many other women that they don't even think like that. Like, I'm just supposed to stay in my lane and do this and do that. Because they don't have those examples. Even like my mom is, again, I've never known her to have one job. And she's always just been great at whatever she needed to do. So consistency and great examples have kind of fueled me to be where I am now.
That's awesome. I love that. In reverse order, they don't have examples. I think that's huge. Obviously, the military, I don't think it matters what branch you're in or were in, or if you're not in the military, looking in, like, it's predominantly male, right? So to be able to be represented, because obviously you have some, like, you have trust in, like you said, like, tell it from the people, by the people, of that, of your people. Like I was saying, giving an example, like being in Germany, somebody speaks English, like, just think about that situation, right? So when you have examples, it always reminds me of Roger Bannister in the 4-minute mile. Like, somebody ran it and then everybody else ran it, right? So if you have somebody that looks like you, talks like you, or just similar to you, and they do something, or you have them as a mentor, that's huge, because then you realize, like, oh, it is possible. And not to say that obviously it isn't possible before, same with the Rogers Bannister thing, but it was always possible. But when you see other people do it, you're like, oh shit, I can do this. And that's one of the biggest things. And I think that's what's, again, so cool about all the things that you're doing right now, is that you're going out there and you left all that shit behind, and you are setting the example. And I hope to God somebody listens to this and, you know, just inspires, or is inspired, just through this podcast. That's my goal, at least. And you know, consistency was the first thing that you said. That, bar none, is like one of the biggest things that I could take away from my life as well, as consistency. Like, you said you have growth, but you kind of stayed the same at the same time. So you, like, which is a good point, because I'm huge on the growth mindset and not staying the same, but there are certain characteristics of oneself that do stay the same. Like my word, you know, having integrity, all of these things, those have only grown stronger, but those core values that I've always maintained have just grown stronger. And it kind of sounds like that's the type of person you were as well. Like, you had these core values and they just built and built and built. And then the last thing I took away from that is your business partner. You said sometimes, you know, you bicker, you yell, whatever, but you challenge each other. So that is another phenomenal thing I want people to take away that are listening, is it doesn't matter. You have friends like my wife, whoever, business partners, whatever. You need people in your life that are going to challenge you, because, like, how shitty would it be to have a business partner that, like, you're like, oh, I think we should do this, and she's just like, yeah, let's do that, and then it turns out, like, it sucks, and if she would have spoken up and said what she wanted to do, then maybe that would have been better, you know what I'm saying? So, like, I think it's very, very healthy to challenge each other, and one of the things I always, always promote on here, especially on my solo podcast, The Contemplations, is that I think it's huge that y'all don't have to agree on everything, nor should you, because we are unique individuals, and we should have, like, we should be able to take in some information from everybody. I don't care who it is, business partners, family, and then be able to, like, do our due diligence based on that, and then formulate our own opinion moving forward from all that. So you need to challenge each other, have people in your life that are, you know, just strong enough to do that, you know, to speak up and to call you out, because sometimes you may be saying something stupid that needs to be checked, you know. So that is so good. I loved everything about that.
Yeah, I will say I find myself actually attracted more to people who call me out on my shit than people who feel good.
Very cool.
Like,
interesting.
When I'm thinking about, like, when I was at ESPN, they used to call me Dreams because my ideas always came from my dreams. Like, I would always say, wow. I was thinking last night about this thing we should try to do. And so, that still is the case now with the Winning Edge. And so, like, when I'm having these dreams, there are, like, a certain pocket of people that I kind of share my dreams with or my thoughts with. And if it's bullshit, they're like, no, girl, that's not it. Mm-hmm. Or if I'm just being dumb or anything, like, they will call me out. And it means so much more to me than any like that I'll get on Instagram or any kudos or any pat on the back. And I find myself weeding out the people. And it sounds crazy. I hope they don't listen to this and think it's I tend to, like, literally communicate more with people who call me out on my shit. And I'm like, as soon as we finish this podcast, I'm actually going to tell somebody that, like, you always give me a hard time and I like
it. Yeah, 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 yeah. Right? But that's so good, though, because, like I said, I you need that. You need that in your life. But one of the things I think is really tough that I struggle with is that it's good for people to call you out and say, no, that's crazy. But at the same time, some people, and maybe those same people or different people, will say that's crazy, but they're wrong. So again, like, you have to be able to, like, you can't just, like, blindly, you know, everything's not black and white. Like, you can't just, like, blindly be like, yeah, you're right. That's definitely it. So why do you disagree with me? Why? You know, and think about that. And then I think you again, be able to come up with your own opinion on the matter from there.
Yeah. Thing is, usually those people call me out on my shit are educated as well. I that's something that I'm very, I think, looking back, intangible, that makes my mother proud, is that I surrounded myself with very thought-provoking, educated people across whatever field they're in. So it's not like, you know, I got kicked out of school for drinking in my senior year, and my principal set my mom and I down and said, your daughter will probably be, you know, multiple children on the street corner, you know, where I was from in Georgia, and to not even be close to that now, and to have people who are entrepreneurs, who are coaches, who are doing all these things, and when they do challenge me, we can talk it out. Like, I literally love being proved wrong and proving other people wrong. And that's kind of what my group of friends are about. Like, we love it. It's like a joke to us. Like, oh, you talking shit about this? Let me show you or whatever. And so to be able to do that and be successful and to, like, want that and to want to be a part of that is something that, hearing myself say it out loud, I don't think I would believe. Or that a lot of young people or people who are struggling or thinking about transition, people don't want things to be easy. You want to wake up and jump into whatever you're going to do and maybe, like, struggle for like a week or so. But it's like, we've been doing the Winning Edge for 5 years. I've been doing it full time for 2 years, almost 3 years. There have been a lot of tough times. Like, shit, should I have left the military? Should I be going back school, like, all these things that I've thought about, you know. I did Lyft for like 3 weeks. I was working at FedEx, I was working at UPS, I was doing all this shit that someone with an advanced degree should not be doing in America, but I was doing it because it was necessary to get what I needed to get done. But I didn't turn my nose up at it because
that's good.
Part of the process, and trusting that process was something that I had to do to get to this point where I am now.
No, you're absolutely right about not turning your nose up at it. Like, sometimes you just have to, like, I was talking to a gentleman, a former Navy SEAL. He's like, sometimes you just got to lean into it. Like, you got to lean into the shit. You just got to deal with it, and you got to do what's got to get done. Like, same with you leaving SPN, doing all this. Like, only you know, unequivocally, you know what you want to do more than anybody. So if you got to lean into that stuff that you don't necessarily want to do, I think, because a lot of times, like, we care about how that's perceived. Like, I have these degrees. If somebody saw me doing this shit right now, like, that's, it's embarrassing. I feel like this, I feel like that. So, like, only you know what you really want to do. So you really just got to block out the rest, and you just got to focus on what you got to do. Believe me, I have those feelings too. I know other people have those feelings too, but you, it
me
doesn't,
too.
Yeah, like, you've done
yesterday.
It.
Yesterday,
you know,
asking a former player of mine that I used to coach for money to get to this trip for my job, you know, that's hella embarrassing.
Yeah.
But that's something, and she reminded me, like, you were there for me when I needed you. You, if it
exactly.
wasn't for you, I wouldn't be where I am now.
Exactly.
And this period of struggle for me has shed light on all the people that I've impacted, and not to my own horn, but it's just been nice to know that people have achieved the success that I knew they could achieve, and I was able to kind of start the fire or be a part of their journey for sure.
I think that's incredible. That's an incredible note to end on. Even I don't want to end. I would love to continue this. I'd love to have one of those wit beers with you in Colorado with you and hang out.
This is so good.
It looks good. I'm like tasting it. I'm like watching you drink, and I'm like, I'm just drinking some water over here. Like, but man, I've had such a great time speaking with you and understanding and learning everything about what you've done and what you're doing. And I really enjoyed it. It honestly was like two friends drinking a cold beer and we just met. Like, that's awesome. That's what I love these to be. That's why they're conversations. But if somebody wants to get to know you more, if they want to get to know the company, how can they find you and how can they find the company?
Yeah, so our nonprofit is called the Winning Edge Leadership Academy. And so our website is winningedgeleadership.org. And then on all the social media, it's the WE Leadership. And then our hashtag that I coined, that it took me a long time to figure it out, but We Game Change is our hashtag that we put for everything. If you want to know about my country bumpkin ass, I live in Georgia. I live by the lake. I go to the lake every day with my dog. He's an American dingo. If you want to see our adventures, you can find me on social media at fantasty_co. Ply's reference for all those people who like plies out there, which I also learned was Italian for great. So I'll take that. But me and Drake and our adventures. But I try to be genuine. Whatever you see is like, it's not fake.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, we're the Winning Edge is putting out there. We're putting out good shit. I'm putting out good shit with my dog. We went paddleboarding.
Nice.
And I love talking to people. I love learning. Literally, I get it from my mom. She knows 7 languages. So I love what I can learn from other people. I'm an NPR freak. I actually travel NPR socks. I'm a sustaining member, so I love talking to people and just getting to know, because I'm one dimensional if it weren't for all the people that I've met along my journey.
Wow, that's awesome. You're just awesome. This has been really, really fun. It's been really fun. I've had a good time. Like I said, you're easy to talk to, and I appreciate the transparency and you opening up and answering all the questions that I just wanted to know. Truthfully,
yeah.
With full honesty, I really do appreciate it.
So the timing of the ending of this is perfect.
Yeah, right. All right, Corinne, like I said, thank you so much for being here. I had a wonderful time with you, and have a great rest of your night.
Yeah, me too. I had a blast. Thank you for inviting me.
You're welcome. See you later.